Earbuds Best of 2019 episode. We got all of our earbuds in the room with us.
LOL.
Yeah, we're going to do our top 10 albums of the year. This episode, we'll do 10 through 6. We're just going to go around the table and start bringing you the best albums of the year and a brief discussion about each. Should we go around the table and say who's here so everyone knows the voices, you know, our 78 listeners, so they know who's who?
Introduce yourself to the bots.
Hello, bots. This is Nick.
What's up, bots? This is Adam.
Hey, bots. This is Holly.
Hello, my name's Taylor.
Hi, I'm Jill.
I'm Mark, the other earbud. I think most of these guys have been on other episodes before.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Brian.
Friends of the pod.
Friends of the pod.
Some of us have well-curated lists that we've been keeping track of for months. Some of us made them this morning.
Me.
Well, you know, we didn't have to say how loud.
Some of us.
But yeah, here we go. Why don't we just kick it off? I'll start with number 10. Oh, maybe we'll just go through some rules. If your album comes up on someone else's list, feel free to talk about it then or stay quiet. You kind of do whatever you want. Maybe keep our discussion per album under like 2 minutes a person, so this doesn't
No,
take
I got words to say, damn it.
This is not your platform. Go to Twitter for that. Yeah. All right, number 10 for me is the album Two Hands by Big Thief. Really great indie record, a band from Brooklyn. I just think it's the perfect album for, it sounds like a 2 p.m. Friday opening music festival set. Just like very airy and breezy and like a good intro to a festival. So I really enjoyed it. That's all.
Right on.
Yeah. Dope.
Yeah, go. Yeah, you, Adam.
Yeah.
Still,
number 10 for me, I've got Kirk by DaBaby. And the main reason I got him in here is because I feel like the Grammys did him a disservice. Obviously having one of the biggest years in hip hop and for him not to be Best New Artist. Nominee is crazy, but overall I thought on his first album this year, Baby on Baby, he had some brilliance in there, but this one he kind of honed his skills. He was super emotional on it, the intro, which is titled Intro, and talking about his, losing his father basically the same day that Suge went number one. And I think that he employs a lot of great features on this album, and then the hooks are extremely memorable as well. And besides the album being great, his marketing has been on point, and he's really been inescapable from, you know, at least in the hip-hop world, the last few months since this album dropped.
Nice. My number 10 is Try Hard by the band Camino. Similar to Nick, they are an alt band from Tennessee, I think Knoxville. We saw them at Lollapalooza. They opened up at noon on a Saturday, and I think it's just a really great album from four really young guys who are kind of changing how that scene sounds. It's really fun. It's kind of like sad boy music, so if you're ever into that kind of mood.
It's sad boy
it's
music
like,
season.
Yeah. if you're into that,
dark
like,
out
sad,
at 4:15.
Yeah, exactly. But I really enjoy it. I think they're catchy. All of the lyrics are really clever as well, so take a listen if you can. I think it's like a 45-minute album. So you can work out to it.
Oh, that's more standard.
Work out to sad boy music.
Yep.
I love it. All right. So this is a little bit of a mouthful. My number 10 album is Las by A La Las. It's kind of like 60s psychedelic music-ish, but the whole album's just a vibe. It's kind of like just going down a lazy river. You just put it on and just go down that lazy river. It's really easy listening, and it's fun.
How many times have you been high while listening to that?
I mean,
feel free to say no comment.
I plead the fifth.
We have to have at least one curse word per episode to keep our explicit rating.
I've done that at least once. But yeah, it's a great album. And it has two songs in different languages. One in Spanish, and I think the other is Portuguese, but I could be wrong. But I always applaud bands when they just do a song in a different language.
How many Spotify listeners do you think they have?
A La Las?
Yeah. This seems like a Taylor classic that is like 700 people.
No. They're probably
say 50,
like
50,000 monthly.
Yeah. I'd say like
I love this game.
To 70,000.
Lost 626,000.
Oh,
wow. Good lord. Yeah.
Doing them a disservice.
Sorry, guys. They're not listening.
They're a band that's like at restaurants all the time. So
you did a great effort.
I want everyone, comedic relief, everyone take a drink. The actual spelling is A-L-L-A-H hyphen L-A-S, if I believe that's correct. I spelled it A space L-A space L-A-S.
Alalas.
Anyway. Sounds like a Christmas song. It does kind of sound like Christmas.
Yeah. All right, my number 10 was The Big Day by Chance the Rapper. I feel like it got a lot of hate, you know, but it's all love songs. It's all about his wife. I enjoyed it. I like a lot of the features on it. The Knox Fortune feature, Let's Go on the Run. Yeah.
Yeah, that song is very similar to Paradise, his the Knox Fortune album.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chance loves his wife.
Yeah. I thought it was sweet.
It
I liked it.
It has worn on me positively.
Yeah.
The first time I listened, I thought it was very cheesy and corny, but I do appreciate like half of it now.
Oh, it definitely is corny, but...
That's Chance.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't have any.
Hot Shower is like comedically bad lyrics, but it is catchy as hell.
Yeah, I love it. He promoted the hell out of it.
I really like that one with his brother.
Groceries?
I forget what it's called.
Groceries
just
make
tag
the album.
Team and then they just go absolutely nuts.
The one with
he's
Taylor
talking about
is
chopping up people and putting them in the freezer.
Yeah.
That's a different side of Chance, not like a love album that I was like, oh. Shit. Okay. Yeah, let's go.
That took
I don't remember what it's called,
like,
but it's
he's
good.
Doing it with love, though. It's fine.
Yeah, that song was, I think, one of the better songs of the year.
It's better than R, I think. I don't know.
Rue?
Yeah.
Rue is the name of the
song.
Yeah. All right.
Good job.
That's what you come to
sure.
listen to the earbuds for. It takes seven brains to come up with that. All right. On to Mark.
Okay. Going full circle, I think we talked about it the first episode of the year. Future presents The Wizard by Future. I think it's like just all the good parts of Future distilled into one album. I'm not going to say much more on that.
I love Future, so shout out to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to run to the bathroom quick. Something about lunch is not going great. All
right. So,
welcome to the pod.
I did not pick the lunch spot.
That's a tough follow, but I guess we'll go for it.
Number 10.
For me is Neo Theater by AJR. They're like this weird three brother band. They make the weirdest music with funky instruments. We've seen them, Holly and I have seen them twice now. And their newest album, I think came out in April, is just a fun album with just good songs overall. And they always find like a wacky instrument to put in each and every song, so that's always enjoyable to
listen.
I love
that.
Yeah.
Love when a band finds a good way to please you in a live environment.
They do like the reggae horn a ton, and it's like a staple in like all of their music.
The three white guys.
It's just weird. They're just weird, deep. Like they're just so strange. Like it was Lollapalooza. It was like 90 degrees, and he's wearing like a Russian fur hat, like on stage. Yeah. And I was good for you.
Get a fit off. For sure.
Yeah.
We just talked about this in the last episode. We did like our top 10 of the decade, but there is something about seeing artists on tour when they are doing their like most recent album tour, and it like definitely makes the album sit hard. Like, exact words I'm looking for are, but like, it's hard to just say to the microphone, like, go see live music for small bands. But like, for
it's
kind
of like the
it
whole experience
it,
of like hearing the album and then seeing their interpretation live.
Well, yeah, because then they, like, usually interlude in between songs about what it means to them, and you get, like, a different perspective on it. For sure. All right, my cousin from another mother, Maggie Rogers, is number 9 for me. Heard it in a past life. I don't have a ton to say, because she's kind of, like, internet famous for a lot of reasons. She's, like, a super smart art student, and Pharrell likes her, so that's dope.
Yeah.
But she's basically solo Haim. That's what I've come up with. She sounds like Haim, but just one person instead of three Jewish sisters.
Why is the Jewish copy part of it?
That's, I mean, that's they are Jewish.
They are.
Yeah. Maggie Rogers is number 7 on my list for this year.
Okay.
I think the album is so good. I think, especially for like women this year. They were snubbed a lot in award season. And I just think this album is really good. Everyone should listen to it.
I gotta listen.
Yeah. It's really good.
Oh, it's just like good pop music.
Yeah, it's like
there's really
it's just good pop music.
Like indie pop.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
And her voice is just really eclectic, I think. It's really hard to I don't know if I necessarily agree with the Haim statement, because I think Haim is really unique sounding, but I think like she just has like a unique voice and it's just easy listening.
Yeah.
I like it.
Cool.
All right, Adam.
Sweet. At number 9, I have one of my favorite young artists, most promising hip-hop artists, is Lil TJ from the Bronx. He had an album this year called True to Myself, and honestly, this year I really dove deep into the young hip-hop artists, because for years I've been definitely putting those kids off and just, you know, calling it mumble rap. But this kid's really promising. He's already blowing up in New York, and I think in 2020 he's going to have one of the biggest years, and he's pretty melodic, and at the same time he speaks on some real shit, and I really enjoyed this album.
I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of your list, because I just want everyone here to know, and the listeners, no one listens to like offbeat rap music like Adam. Like, there are many times at work when you come up to me like, have you heard of Lil Screech 411? Like, he just dropped a new album, like Love in the Streets 4, and my god, it's the best. Like, it's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Lil TJ, I've heard.
Lil Durk
is good.
Is who I think you love songs for the streets too. That's Chicago guy. Honorable mention, you led me up for this one. Honorable mention, Lil Durk, he's leading the drill scene in Chicago, and I feel like, since you let me up for this, I'm going to waste a minute or so on him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chief Keef, kind of, if you remember, in like 2013, he blew us up, Chicago Drill, but Lil Durk is really going to take us to the next level, and Love Songs for the Streets 2 came out this year. I think it's an 11 for me. I don't know. I've made so many lists.
Finito or Mo Bamba?
Finito.
Mo Bamba.
Yeah, Mo Bamba.
Yeah,
Mo Bamba.
Just
Mo Bamba.
That thing just hits too.
Yeah.
And when you see the live video. Be ready.
I just think of all those little kids screaming that song.
Mo Bamba is a great like mosh rage hip hop song.
Yeah.
Obviously, for a lot of reasons, but we'll get to you in 1 second. Holly, genius.com just did a great video on her Instagram about like mosh pit rage music and hip hop and how it's like evolved in the last couple of years. Because like,
yes, let's go.
Travis Scott is like infamous for asking people to jump off like the third story of his concerts to like one guy broke his leg and they nuts. Just wild experience. Anyway,
that guy's wild.
All right, on to Holly.
My number 9 is Vampire Weekend, Father of the Bride. I think it's a very evolved version of Vampire Weekend. Vampire Weekend was like very I listened to them a ton in college, and I forgot how much I actually like knew of their music when we saw them at Wall a couple years ago, and so I was super excited for this album to come out. I just go back to it every week. I like it's on like heavy rotation on your Spotify. That's this album, but I think it's super mature of them. It sounds really good. They bring up global warming, kind of all of the like elitist things that people are talking about nowadays in mainstream culture. So I love it. I think it's really good.
Also up for album of the year, so good taste.
Yeah.
They did a good job of maintaining the Vampire Weekend sound. Wow, like there's a lot of like weird, like deep stuff on there that like Ezra's a very woke boy.
Yeah, and I think too, like, you know, like if you look at a lot of their music, they do come from like very privileged backgrounds, like, a lot of privileged culture, and I think they address that pretty well, like understanding like
that's pretty much what the last album was about.
Yeah.
Like,
so, I love it. He's also has a kid with like Rashida Jones, and like,
does he really?
Yeah,
they got
a kid. And so there's like all these rumors that like
baby vampire.
There's all these rumors that like Father of the Bride is for like they thought they were gonna get married and all this like crazy stuff.
Huh.
But it's just like, I think it's a really solid record from them.
It's on my list.
There was a great tweet yesterday on Thanksgiving about how they are really thankful for all of the indie bands taking band photos in their parents' mansions.
Ooh,
I
love it.
Anyway.
But yeah,
really
solid
good
album.
Alright, I was about to take a sip. Now I'm just awkwardly here.
Take a sip.
No, it's too late.
It's
all right down.
Radio.
All right, my number nine is Angel Olsen, All Mirrors. Talk about sad boy season.
Yes.
This album is incredible. It's just sad Angel Olsen music. It's got great string section to it. A lot of reasons why I love it is it brings in elements of synth pop. Like I said, a lot of orchestral stuff too, which with her voice is incredible. And then also, I'm a huge James Bond nerd, and half the songs sound like they could be a James Bond theme song. So, great album if you're into sad boy music. She's great. That's it. All
right, so my number nine is a little different. It's Charlie by Charlie XCX. So, very dancey, poppy. Very
fun.
Yeah.
It does sound like future music.
Yeah.
Like futuristic, like pop music.
Yeah.
She's so fucking good, though.
Yeah.
All right. So, my number nine is So Much Fun by Young Thug.
Ooh.
Just such a fun album, if I will. I think, we talked about this album. He kind of righted his ship and put out like a complete project again. And I think Hot is like probably one of his biggest songs he's had in a while. So it's a good course correction for Thug, and it just sounds great.
Honorable mention.
Awesome to see him get that Grammy nom for The London too, because I feel like a lot of people really enjoyed that album.
Yeah.
So.
He has a lot of great features.
Yeah, it's
he's
interesting.
The Lil Wayne of features.
Yeah, it's.
I feel like that's what his goal it kind of is.
Because
to like nurture
Lil Wayne
that
for a long time was way better on features than he was on any actual project. And Young Thug is starting to become like.
Yeah.
Camila Cabello had him on Havana, which was like the biggest song of last year,
that's
2 years ago.
Yeah, that was a good song.
Yeah,
I always go back to the Young Thug projects because that's where he gets to be his weirdest too.
Oh yeah,
and,
Beautiful
you know,
Bugger Girl is one of the strangest albums I've ever listened to, and one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeehaw!
All right,
number nine for me is from this little indie band called Grizzfolk. The album's called Rarest of Birds. Again, it's kind of like what Holly was mentioning with Band Camino. It's like a 45-minute album, super short, but every song is amazing. It is like on the fun side. It's very summer-esque, so not as applicable, if I could speak, right now. And sad boy, one White Claw in, so I'm hammered. But yeah, it was like one of my favorite albums when it came out. I listened to it repeatedly. So gets number nine on my list.
All right, my number eight. We're keeping the... It's a big girl year for me on the top ten.
Pun intended.
This album... not pun intended. My girlfriend's listening. You're beautiful the way that you are.
But she's not.
Well, not live, but...
I don't think anybody's listening right now.
Oh, God.
Good radio. My album, my number eight, is The Big Freeze by Laura Stevenson. A really beautifully like honest and therapeutic record. She's an indie artist. This is her fifth album. It hasn't really reached like commercial stardom by any means, but just really, really personal lyrics, and the songwriting is amazing. It's very soft and sweet, yet powerful. She recorded this entire album in like her mom's basement, and on her previous albums had talked about like her broken relationship with her mom. So like also there's that aspect that she like ends up coming home to like write this album and like record it. It's like very, very cool to me. It's like something I'd listen to like on a cold Saturday morning or like in the middle of the summer out in a park, you know, like it has both kind of aspects to it. It's like breezy yet very, it's still sad, but yeah, I like it.
All
right. Listen to it.
Sweet. At number eight, another one of what Nick would call an obscure rapper, but I've got another kid from New York, guy's about 20 years old.
Little baby to Jesus Lord.
Actually, it's Pop Smoke, Meet the Woo, release a 9-song project this year. And,
What is the name of the album?
Meet the Woo.
Meet the Woo?
It's dude, you know what? Just give him a listen before you pass the judgment.
I'm not. I'm writing them down.
This kid has a very 50 Cent-esque sounding voice, kind of that vibe. And part of the project is a little repetitive, but he does have a great song on there, PTSD, which is one of my favorite songs of the year, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
Nothing. I love 50 Cent, so if he sounds like 50 words.
Listen to PTSD, you'll be hooked, I promise. All
right.
Yeah. Beats are fire, too.
Did he also get shot by Ja Rule?
Probably not. No, he's,
okay.
He's 20 years old.
Not yet. Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. Ja's too busy trying to stay out of, like, jail.
Yeah.
For fraud. Yeah. Alright, Meet the Woo.
My number 8 is by the Growlers. They are a surf rock band.
I love this.
Yes, they're a surf rock band from Orange County. They just are so, they remind me of home every time I listen to them. So
are you from California?
Safe. Yeah, I'm from Cali, you know. But no, we, Brian and I saw them. He's the one who introduced me to them, and he was like, Holly, when you're homesick, listen to them. And so they came out with a new album, Natural Affair, I think is what it's called this year. Every song on that album is so good. But it reminds me of home. It reminds me of, like, eating tacos by the beach, surfing, like, all that kind of stuff. But they're super good. Everyone, they're a small band. They get local artists to do all of their artwork for their albums. They're super into the
That's
community.
Cool.
Yeah, they're super, super good. So take a listen to them.
Yeah, I love the Growlers. I listen to a lot of bad garage rock music, but that's not bad. It's just... Yeah,
it's
I love their Growlers.
Okay,
that's really
more
good.
More or less Spotify listeners than A La Las?
I'm going to say less.
More. 2 times more.
Whoa.
Dang.
All right, never mind.
1.6 million.
Though. Yeah, they're pretty popular, which was super...
Take a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just,
all right, I'm wrong.
They're just so good. Everyone should listen to them.
Okay.
Should we just, like, tag team it? Because we got the same
sure.
one.
Yeah, we both have no,
same
number.
At the same time.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Kiwanuka
by
Michael
Kiwanuka.
That was so bad. I was then, like, trying to say it at the same time.
I thought you were
going to
say it at the same time.
It's like when they read the Grammy envelope at the same time.
Oh, it never works.
La La Land!
Moonlight won.
Hey, Moonlight. All right, what is it?
Kiwanuka by Michael Kiwanuka. I don't know why he chose his third album to be named after him, and he didn't use his full name for his third album. But, yeah, Michael Kiwanuka, most famous for doing the theme song for Big Little Lies at this point, probably. Mm-hmm. But he's got a great soulful voice, a lot of piano, and he works with Danger Mouse a lot, which, take it or leave it, I love Danger Mouse, I love it. A lot of people don't like him because he does weird things, and that's fair.
He's no Gold Link. This is not that weird.
Yeah. But the album, in my opinion, does a great job of every sound just... Or every song sounds, like, weirdly large and spacious, but also kind of desolate. Like, it just feels like it's in the middle of an empty field or, like... a warehouse district that should be populated, it should be thriving or something like that, but it's just, you're there alone-ish. Like, I don't know, it's this hollow feeling to it, but it's also very spacious and big.
Yeah, I think Big Little Lies just incepted my brain, so like, every time I listen to it, I'm just thinking about driving along the highway in the Pacific Northwest.
Do you think
but that's a great feeling.
The theme song backwards, it says... Listen to Kiwanuka.
No, maybe.
That was worth it. Yeah. Have you listened to Beatles backwards? There's all this conspiracy.
Yeah, John's dead.
Yeah.
That's not conspiracy. That's a fact.
Paul is dead.
They're both dead.
Stevie,
John is actually dead.
It's not even a conspiracy. That's fact. But
that Stevie can see.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
that's
Stevie
science.
Wonder ain't blind.
No, he's not.
All right.
I've done enough research on that.
Well, there's a great YouTube video where someone pushes over the microphone and he catches it, and
yep.
It's like, how the fuck did he do that?
Yeah.
It's
pretty compelling evidence.
It's pretty damning to the blind.
All right, before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah.
Stevie's lawyers are calling us. My number 8 is Heard It in a Past Life by Maggie Rogers. She's up for Grammys, I believe. Very just like solid kind of pop, indie pop, folk pop, whatever you want to call it, but it's got just amount the right amount of like that like pop electro stuff for me, and she's got just like a fantastic voice, and all the songs are extremely catchy.
Yeah, she's wonderful. It comes up later on Holly's list, and it was number 9 for me.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Bring you up to speed.
Yeah.
Number eight was also the same as Holly's, Natural Affair by the Growlers. I'll just, again, plug in that being from Southern California, it just reminds me of home. So that was really good. But I'll take this time, because Adam is wearing a Houston Astros hat, to call out that one of my favorite albums this year was the Houston Astros whistling and banging on trash cans throughout the baseball season.
Number one.
Yeah, so that's an honorable
mention.
Honorable mention for 2019.
It's like so creative.
But that was actually a 2017. A couple years later. Yeah.
They definitely stopped cheating.
That's all the new YouTube dubs, compilation of the dubs. That's great. That's rich comedy. I'll tell you what. All right, my number seven is the album You Can't Sit With Us by Pivot Gang. One of my favorite albums of the entire year, obviously top 10, but it came out very early this year. Has been up there for a long time. A compilation album of, maybe compilation is the wrong word, but a group album.
Yeah. Collaboration.
Saba. Fresh Waters, and now that I've had a couple beers and the microphone is staring at me, I forget the other
MF members. And Mellow.
Thank you, MF and Mellow. A lot of just the group,
The Pivot Gang.
Saba is one of my favorite artists from Chicago. I think he's like an extremely thoughtful artist through the lens of hip hop. And this album is just like a very, very, it's fun. Even though they don't get as deep as some of Saba's projects, it's it showcases a lot of the other talent in the group with the Saba backing.
Yeah, this was swapped in and out number 10 for me with Future like 4 or 5 times. Yeah, it's so much fun, and it's not like a deep album, but it is dense with just like funny lines that there's like so many pop culture references that you pick up another one no matter how many times you listen to it.
Yeah, shout out to the Pivot Gang. Listen to him. Go see him live.
At number 7, I have Lana Del Rey, Norman fucking Rockwell.
There we go.
Lana's been on her game for some time now, but this album I just felt was kind of perfect for her. I feel like she went really true to herself, and then I think that the production was pretty minimalistic, so we got a lot of her voice, which is really her best instrument, and just to hear her just kind of sing so melodically, that's even a word, melodically is really impressive, and obviously just I love hearing it. And then anybody I think that can make me kind of intrigued and interested in a song that's 9 minutes long like Venice Bitch, it's just like you're doing something right. So that song is a ballad.
This definitely comes up later on my list. Grammys bait for sure, because it's like quote real music. But it's beautiful, so I'll save the rest of it for later, but definitely for all the shit the Grammys have definitely snubbed her before for a lot of Lana Del Rey stuff. And they finally kind of gave her the nod for album of the year, which I'm happy about, and I think this is worthy of that.
Definitely.
If she were to win, worthy of the title.
Definitely.
Especially after Casey won last year, I think that's that'd be solid.
Number 7 was Maggie Rogers for me, so I already said my piece on that.
Shout out Maggie Rogers.
Shout out Maggie.
All right.
Dox yourself.
Number 7 for me is the self-titled album by Amel and the Sniffers. Australian, I don't know what you call it exactly. It's just kind of like punk.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see them, you should. They just won Rock Album of the Year in Australia. They're a very, very weird punk band. They all have mullets. The lead singer is just a crazy tiny little blonde girl and everything. And everything, it could be very easy to say that they're phonies, but they don't seem like phonies. Like, they're straight out of the 70s. They just fucking rock, and I'm sure they just do all the cocaine in the world. And if they're not performing, I'm sure they're sniffing glue in a closet or something. They're awesome.
I fucking love any band who still is, like, super punk. Yes. Like, bullets. You know, like, that's something that should have been abolished, like, 30 years ago, and then punk bands should be like, we can still be punk and act like it without wearing those kinds of, you know, looks.
Yeah.
But fuck it, they still fit up.
It's funny, yeah. Like, like, seeing them perform like that, like, makes sense. Then you start to think about, like, they're not performing every day. Like, like, they're going to get, like, lunch and stuff, just, like, looking like goons.
Yeah.
I gotta go on a Target run.
Yeah.
But yeah, seeing them live is awesome. Like, I'm not super into, like, screamo kind of music like that. Like, she's a screamer.
Like, screamo,
no, but just seeing her actually do it live is just, like, this tiny little girl, like, those noises coming out of her.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And, I mean, one of their big songs is called Gacked on Anger, which is just being, like, super pumped and angry. I don't know. But, yeah, it's wild, and just give it a listen and let it wash over you. Like, wow, that's fucking intense.
So I just want to bring this up real quick because it is related to this band. But they were playing a show here at a festival, I believe.
The Wicker Park Festival.
They've done two shows in Chicago this year.
But I had never heard of the band before in my entire life. And Taylor, in passing, was like, we should go see Ammo and the Sniffers. I thought it was Animal and the Sniffers.
That makes more sense.
So I went on Google and typed in Animal and the Sniffers because I'm trying to figure out the band. I want to do a little research. Well, fuck me. I got some weird ass website recommendations. The Google images were all sorts of weird. Just, I thought that was funny.
Also,
Animal and the Sniffers.
At that show, it was a street festival. People were on rooftops watching it, and about halfway through the show, the lead singer noticed it, and it's just like in a super thick, like trashy, because they're ultimate white trash band, trashy Australian accent. It was like, holy fuck, look at those fuckers up there! Killed me.
She's
it was
just,
so good.
I dare you to do it in the metro the next time. Sit on the bottom level. Just shut
holy
up.
Fuck.
Look at these fuckers. Anyway. There we go. We got our explicit rating. We're good. No more curse words for the rest of the episode.
I'll do my best.
All right. My number 7 is Ventura by Anderson .Paak. Love .Paak. Just like the R&B, like kind of easy listening, Motown vibes.
This was a very good follow-up to his last album, Oxnard, which I did not like Oxnard, but I loved Malibu.
Yeah, I loved Malibu.
Album, so
this would not be my
favorite. This is a good comeback, I thought. Yeah. I was into this album.
Yeah.
All right. My number 7 is Mirrorland by Earthgang. I think we talked about it, which is how I'm going to open most of these. I suppose.
Listen to previous episode plug.
Yes. Every one of my picks is just a plug. I should have came with the episode number.
43. It was August 28th.
No, I think they've had EPs come out before, and they had already sort of established a pretty unique sound that blends a lot of Atlanta styles. But this album just cements it, and there's a lot of Outkast comparisons, rightfully so, but they're not ripping Outkast off or anything. It's like very heavily Outkast inspired, blended with a lot of other stuff in Atlanta. There's a T-Pain feature that's actually very good and very fun. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, this narrowly missed my top 10. This is honorable mention for me. It's a great album. And I like the Outkast comparisons.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they're not ripping it off.
They're also touring with Mick Jenkins.
That's a very interesting combo.
Would be a very cool show.
Yeah.
That's my only. They are weird.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Number 7 is Dedicated by the one and only CRJ, Carly Rae Jepsen. What more can I say about her? But I love her. Sorry, Holly. But again, she just crushed it with her fun music. And whenever I'm down, I give it a listen. So.
Yeah, love CRJ. Pop artist of the decade. Don't at me. Also saw her live earlier this year. Was amazing, but I went with one of my best friends. The two of us were there. We definitely were the only two straight guys alone.
I'm she so glad you didn't have that mustache when yeah. you did.
Oh,
I'm in some trouble.
Oh yeah, it's just shout out her for she really is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go see RJ. All right, my number. What are we on, six now? All right, this is gonna be the last round. Then we'll take a quick break. We'll do the next episode here. My number six, which I think will come up on a few other lists, probably a little higher up, is Lost Boy by YBN Cordae.
Yeah, definitely.
This was really hard to keep out of the top five, honestly. I just really like the other five records more, obviously. A really thoughtful and creative rap album for someone who like I had never heard of and listened to before. And I'm happy he got a nod from the Grammys for Best Rap Album this year. Just a really, really, really good hip-hop album that's not... a lot of people avoid listening to hip-hop albums because I feel like they assume it's just like a lot of like intense bangers.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like a really good... It's poetry.
This is super, super thoughtful.
Yeah, it's
with
poetry.
Bangers. Yeah.
You know, with like beats in the background. So, yeah. Great album.
Yeah. So this was my number six, so I'll just jump in and say my piece now. You covered it mainly. I think Bomani Jones tweeted about it and he said, this is definitely an album for the, like, the crowd that, like, bemoans the lack of real rap, quote unquote. But I would definitely say I'm not in that crowd. So there is, it hits that, but there's enough, like, kind of pop and, like, fun, like, features and crossover that, it's like, it's very good and very confidently made for somebody that I think is written off a lot for just like YBN Cordae is kind of a goofy name that gets lost in the shuffle,
the
I think.
The song with Anderson .Paak is one of the best songs of the year, honestly. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the... Yeah, I got Cordae coming up later, so
okay.
I'll touch on it later. But yeah, my number six is Remind Me Tomorrow by Sharon Van Etten.
Ooh,
and Nick and I were talking about this, and like I think it came out in January, so it stood the test of time for an album for us to still be talking about it at the end of the year, because obviously there's so much music that comes out, especially later in the year when awards season kind of starts nomming stuff. But I thought it's just super melodic. I think it's kind of a, it's got its ups and downs. It's got its slower songs, and then it's got some really good like rock songs like Comeback Kid and 17 are two of my favorite songs of the year. But it kind of, to me, it seems electronic but not totally in that realm. It's like futuristic rock music. I really enjoyed this one.
An extremely Pitchfork album.
Totally. Yeah. I mean they probably ate this shit up. Yeah.
They
I
did.
Don't even know what.
Yeah,
they gave
did.
It best new music. I really, this was an honorable mention.
Yeah.
As you just said, 17 is one of my favorite songs of the year.
Yeah.
And just
it's
missed my
yeah.
top 10. This was like, I moved this to 11, if that's worth anything. Because what else? Oh, yeah, Two Hands by Big Thief, I think, was just like a little bit better. But anyway, good album.
Yeah, real good album.
My number six is Gris Folk, Rarest of Birds. Brian talked about it a little bit. This is like a Swedish rock band. I think they're all from like Tennessee now. They live in L.A. It's just, it's easy listening. I think every song is really good. It's very nostalgic. It's, again, it's like under 45 minutes, and I love those albums that I can just like sit down and listen to in less than an hour.
I feel like 45 minute albums are kind of where that's the sweet spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything longer, I think I just am like, okay, we get it.
If you get over an hour, it starts to feel
unless
it's like
Tyler
phenomenal.
Unless you're one of the biggest artists on the planet.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
The streaming is worth having a record that's an hour and 20 minutes.
Like,
or,
I think
yeah, but that doesn't make the record good.
Yeah.
Drake
no.
just does that for
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
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 We're not naming
these.
Yeah. I am.
I think it's like,
that's the sweet spot.
Yeah, I think it's like when it comes to like commute, like I think of like, okay, what albums have I like just really enjoyed like listening to
yeah,
over and
totally.
Over on like, I can sit on a bus and like just tune
yeah.
out everything or like a shitty day, and like this is one of those albums.
And you can get on. You can get through those
yes.
pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
And still like really enjoy it, like have the like emotions. They're just a great band. They're a little tiny band, so go listen to them.
Buy their merch, see them
buy
live.
Their merch, buy their merch, see them live. If you're in Chicago, they always play at Lincoln Hall.
Speaking,
shout
I mean,
out.
I don't know if anyone did see the news about Billboard change their way they're going to...
Yeah. It's actually $3 for bundles now.
Yeah.
Because you gotta pay for the album to count as a sale. Yeah.
Because they don't want, they believe that someone's buying a bundle on an artist's website because they want the like sweatshirt merch more than they want the album. So now you have to pay slightly more
for the merch. Yeah, which is,
to get
which
it
is
to
good.
Count
I mean,
as a sale.
Yeah, which is good because I think those bundles definitely help.
Yeah, they help.
Yeah.
I mean, Travis was selling those like.
Yes.
Passes, VIP passes to like just get resources.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then Nikki.
It's a cycle. They'll come out with something else.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was very interesting. I just thought, yeah, that's all.
The changing of the times is cool to see.
Alright, my number six is a Chicago band. It's Dehd. The album's Water. Dehd spelled Dehd. It's the guitarist from Knee High. If I think you guys have talked about them before.
Love Knee High.
So the album is actually, they announced afterwards that it is a breakup album. He was dating the bassist, they broke up, and they wrote the album together. And yeah, they stuck through it all the way through writing the album, every song, performing. They're still touring together. The band hasn't broken up. It's very, very bare bones. There's almost no production in it, but everything is very crisp and meticulous. They're great together, even though they're apart. My favorite song on there that I'm absolutely obsessed with is called Lucky. It starts off with just a line, "Lucky to have people that can break your heart," which is like such like a tough song, and like those two people singing it together is, yeah, but it's kind of hopeful at the end, but yeah, it's a really good album. Strongly recommend it.
Love it.
It's
just outside my top 10.
Austin, too, I've never loved it all.
Yeah.
That album rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, my number six is Forever Turned Around by Whitney.
This
is
later on mine.
I don't have too much to say about it. Just very like easy listening, great local band. Yeah.
I love Whitney.
Yeah.
They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They play at Wicker Park Fest like every year, right? Or was
no, they're
no.
What was the thing
they've
that
grown
they,
up.
They
yeah.
played at
the
Oktoberfest
that's
in Moby
yes,
Square.
That's right.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
That was so fun.
They're doing five straight shows at Talia Hall next week.
I'm going next Saturday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, which I love Whitney, but like those tickets were a lot to see a band that's gonna play the same piano strings and drums for
like, well,
for
like we just saw them
like
in July. Yeah.
Damn.
And I'm like, I like Whitney. But
dude, they've reached that status in Chicago now.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
I know, Taylor
which is
has
cool
a
to
theory
see
about moving to the suburbs and they could randomly be
oh
living in your neighborhood.
Yeah,
when you're
like
40 something.
Oh, it's just they seem very much like a band that if you move to like Glen Ellen and like when you're 55 or whatever, they could just be your neighbors. Like they're just
and
huge
they
in Chicago
be,
and they like tour a little bit outside of Chicago. I mean, I know they're going on that, but
that's
they're going to end up just being living in the suburbs of Chicago at
oh,
some
yeah,
point.
Oh yeah, Jeremy just started basketball.
He plays a doubleheader on Saturday.
He hit his first three-pointer yesterday.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Coach has him off the bench.
We went to the round table after.
Yeah, but he would be saying it in his falsetto.
You
can't
play you.
No.
All right. Is it to me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, The Lost Boy. We said this.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. On to Brian here.
Wow.
Great.
Quick. My number six was Adam already talked about this, Lana Del Rey, Norman fucking Rockwell, great album. Yeah, it was like from the first song throughout I was hooked, so I don't think I need to say much more about that one, but
all right, that does it, 10 through 6. Hit the next episode if you're interested, which you should be.
We're just going for streaming numbers.
Yeah, streaming numbers and downloads. You're here.
Buy the bundle, too.
Yeah, buy the bundle. Earbuds merch.